The return of standardized testing. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Harvard has become the latest Ivy League school to reinstate its standardized testing requirement, starting with next year's class. Many schools dropped the requirement early in the pandemic when it was hard to get to a testing site. This was also seen often as a way to diversify incoming classes. Harvard says standardized tests, though, actually help it diversify. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Harvard had said it wouldn't restart the testing requirement until the class of 2031, but now it's following the lead of other Ivy League schools like Dartmouth, Yale, and Brown, which have all decided to reinstate requirements that applicants submit SAT or ACT test scores. There are exceptions. Harvard says if students can't access those tests, they can submit scores from AP or international baccalaureate exams. Harvard says the tests are a useful predictor of success in college and can help in, quote, identifying talent from across the socioeconomic range. It cites research from several Harvard professors that found that standardized tests help identify students at schools with fewer resources. But in a statement on Instagram, the Generational African American Students Association said the resumption of Harvard's testing requirement, quote, strikes at the very heart of the progress made toward achieving true equal opportunity. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Next week, the Senate is scheduled to hold not one, but two hearings on Boeing's safety lapses. Experts who reviewed the plane maker's manufacturing practices are set to testify. Also appearing is a whistleblower who says Boeing's troubles extend beyond its MAX jet. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more on that.
The Senate Commerce Committee on Wednesday is scheduled to hear from members of an investigative panel appointed last year prior to the accident in January when a door plug blew out mid-flight on an Alaska Airlines MAX jet. In a previously issued report, the panel found a disconnect between management and employees over safety practices. Also on Wednesday, the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations will hear from a whistleblower who claims to have witnessed safety problems on the production lines of other jets, the widebody 787 and 777. A series of crises, starting with two deadly MAX crashes nearly 4 years ago, has left Boeing in turmoil. Production has slowed to address safety lapses, leaving some airlines short of planes and capacity. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The economy added more than 303,000 jobs in the month of March, bringing the unemployment rate back down to 3.8%. But hiding behind that number are disparities. The unemployment rate for white workers is only 3.4%. For black workers, that rate is higher, 6.4%. Black unemployment has been about twice as high as white unemployment ever since the government started collecting unemployment data for black workers back in 1972. That disparity is only starting to maybe change. For more, we turn to Valerie Wilson, director of the Economic Policy Institute's program on race, ethnicity, and the economy. She recently spoke with Marketplace Morning Report host David Brancaccio. Here's David.
That 2-to-1 ratio, that is typically what we've seen over the years?
Yes. In fact, the stability of that relationship between black and white unemployment is actually documented for almost 7 decades in national statistics. And that disparity holds up across periods of economic expansion and recession. We see it for all age cohorts, for men and women, and at nearly every level of education. So it is a pretty persistent racial disparity in unemployment.
So interesting. I mean, I remember reporting in April of 2023, the headline, lowest unemployment rate on record for black people. Back then it was 4.7%. You take a look at, you know, a year later and you still see this difference by race.
Over the longer period of time, we're interested in whether or not that rate is coming down. And yes, recently we've seen historically low black unemployment. That's important. That's significant. But at the same time, that disparity between blacks and whites is still incredibly persistent. So even though we've made progress on reducing black unemployment, that disparity between black and white workers is something that remains really a defining feature, unfortunately, of the U.S. labor market.
I mean, you studied this, though. At the heart of this must be prejudice, institutional racism. But would you also say access to education?
So on average, sure, you're going to see some portion of that disparity being a result of those differences in education. But the thing that really challenges how much education is explaining the gap is when we look at workers with the same level of education and we still see that 2-to-1 disparity. That points more strongly towards the issue of structural racism as a major factor in the disparity.
So what is in the toolkit to dealing with this persistent issue?
We really need full employment. Essentially, extended periods of low unemployment reduce unemployment much more among Black workers. So that's important. The second important factor would be unions, because what a labor contract does is it's essentially a proactive anti-discrimination tool. Those contracts typically lay out clearly defined rules and processes for hiring, for promotions, for pay, and those things minimize opportunities for discrimination. The event that they don't minimize or avoid that, there are often provisions that provide clear recourse for workers. Beyond that, I think it's important that we have adequate funding and staffing for the agencies responsible for enforcement of our anti-discrimination laws. And transparency, again, plays a major role in their ability to carry out enforcement.
Valerie Wilson, Director of the Economic Policy Institute's Program on Race, Ethnicity, and the Economy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our digital producer is Dylan Miettinen. Our engineers are Brian Allison and John Brewington. And this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.